Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We got some fun stuff lined up for you in this hour. Going to get in some entertainment news in a moment. A little bit later, got this quick home test to check your brain. I'm going to get into that. Some other fun stuff we got lined up for you here. But one of the getting into entertainment news, we kick off with the material girl herself, the queen of the 80s, Madonna.
All right.
Every once in a while, she will come up, and she doesn't, you know, get brought up in conversation or in pop culture as much as she used to or anything like that. But every once in a while, it kind of hits me. I almost have a flash of her whole career and thinking about it. Again, one of these artists that I don't care if you like or dislike. I don't know how you can't respect the length of her career and the staying relevant as long as she did and all those things. I don't know. Even I, who study the industry and all that stuff, can really understand how difficult it is to stay relevant, to continue to have not only hit after hit, but successful music in multiple generations and multiple decades and that. Mm-hmm. It's just always impressive to me when a musician can do that, no matter what the genre or if I like them or not or anything like that. I was talking about this with Alabama and the Oak Ridge Boys and some of these bands, you know, that did 4 or 5 decades they entertain people and stuff. It's impressive to me.
And it really shows that, you know, they love what they do, and that's why they're keep doing it. And I think that's why they're successful.
I agree. I will only add on, I think staying grounded in some way, whatever that might mean for those that individual. There's something, especially with certain music, that you got to be able to relate to your audience, and your audience has got to be able to relate to you. And for some artists, they lose that when they get that break or they get their first paycheck or some of those things. And then there's
they get signed on by a record label, and the record label destroys their individuality.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes their drive isn't there, so the motivation creatively isn't there or something like that.
Because they're owned by somebody.
I couldn't fill an EP, like 6-song EP. I couldn't imagine doing like multiple albums over 30 years or something like that. Like the way you're writing songs or any of that, it's impressive. And this is a lot of people excited. Madonna has teamed up with Netflix and director Sean Levy for a limited series about her life. Now, he is Sean Levy, one of the more sought-after directors out there. He just got done doing Deadpool and Wolverine and is one of the executive producers of Stranger Things. So he's got some hits under his belt himself and everything.
I would say so.
There's no word which part of Madonna's life it'll be about or even who will portray her. Now, this should be noted is unrelated to the biopic that is being done starring Julia Garner that was scrapped, then brought back to life. As of last July, Madonna has been working on the screenplay. Now, you know, Madonna, I think it's shown, has proven at least, that she's a good writer. She's a very good writer. Not even just looking at her song credits, but some of the other writing credits she's had in her career. So her writing a biopic is good. The only caveat I have with these things is the how honest can you be about your own life? It seems to go a couple different directions. One where they romanticize it, even the negative stuff, or kind of the Sir Elton John route where it almost feels like they were too hard on themselves.
It would be hard to strike that balance because we all have, you know, choices that we've made that weren't the greatest choices, and then things that we've done that were really awesome, but, you know, nobody knows about it when you talk about them. It feels like you're trying to just pat yourself on the back. So it's hard to find that balance.
Over the last 4-5 years and over 2 agents, I've been trying to get into the Writers Guild. And one of the ways you do that is certainly, you know, having a good short story or a popular book or any of those things. And while I've had some good ideas, I think, and I've pitched some stuff to people, one of the things that both of my agents have come back to me are like, you should tell a story about your life. you should write a story about your life. And I can't think of anything less interesting to me. I have no interest in that whatsoever. If you ever see me doing that, everybody, you know I have run out of ideas. That is it for me. This is my greatest hits album. Because for me personally, it's boring. It doesn't seem that interesting. I don't really, and I don't think this is me being hard on myself or anything. It's just I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of other great stories out there and a lot of other better stories in my head than that one. But that's just me. I don't have anything against anybody doing these things. And I think especially you get to a certain point in your life, your fans are wanting this. Like I imagine Madonna fans out there will be very excited about this. Whether they'll like it or not is a whole other thing. But I imagine, especially having her hands on and her fingerprints on it.
Well, I do think that, you know, each one of us has a unique story of our lives, you know, and what brought us to where we are now. And the things that happen throughout our lives make us the people that we are now in some form or fashion. And those stories are interesting. Yeah. And if you sat down with somebody you didn't know and listened to their life story, you would find it fascinating in some ways. I mean, just because you're interested, you personally, I mean, James, are interested in people and you care.
Yeah.
So I think you should give yourself that same grace and that same credit, because there are people who would be interested. So I don't think your agents are wrong, as you say.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact about Madonna, did you know that she was in 21 movies?
No. Wow. I didn't know
she was an actress.
I knew she was in a lot. I would have never guessed 21, though. Wow.
21. Yep.
You talk about that, too. You know, certainly bouncing back and having hit songs and everything is impressive. I think maybe the most impressive thing to her is the way she was kind of treated as an actor for so long. And then she finally comes out and she does Evita and everybody's like, oh, okay. wait a minute. Okay, she can act too. She can, because there's nobody that watches that movie and is not blown away by her performance, or at least impressed by her performance, I think, in some ways. Given the time, maybe I haven't seen it in forever. Maybe it hasn't aged that great, but I do remember at the time. One other quick side note, Julia Garner, fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah, I like her a lot.
Ozarks, she's currently in the movie Wolfman. She's going to be playing the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four. She's good. Good. And I've been waiting for her to get this kind of like run of just like good roles, and it feels like Ozark really set that up, and she's finally, now with that show's done, filming a TV show, whether it's streaming, network TV, it doesn't matter, it locks you in as an actor. You are tied to that production for 6 to 9 months, and you are not available for anything else. So as good of a show as it was, I'm really happy for her that she's getting these opportunities. She's very, very good. And she's at 31. She's still in her prime and everything.
Oh, so, yeah. A lot ahead of her.
I'd like to see her as Madonna. I think that'd be pretty impressive. I think that'd be pretty interesting. So I thought this was a cool one too, and I've talked about this before. I got laughed at the first time I brought this up when I first got into the Screen Actors Guild, because I see the list and I never really paid. I've watched award shows my whole life, but I never locked in and paid that much attention until you're voting on them and everything and putting in nominees and stuff. And I go through and I go through and I'm looking and I'm looking and I see nothing about stunt people. Nothing about stunt people. You will see, you know, one of the biggest sellers of in the history of entertainment and of movies is action scenes and them being believable. Right. And
that's where they put a lot of the money, too.
Yeah. And it all starts and ends with stunt people. Because
there's very few that actors, you know, big famous actors that do their own stunts.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackie Chan.
Yeah. For every Jackie Chan, there are 99% of other actors. Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that because I will break.
And to be fair, that's not always, in fact, the majority of the time, that's not up to the actor. There's a lot of scenes. I've heard Kurt Russell talk about this, where he wanted to do more of his own action scenes, but the studio wouldn't let him because of insurance and all that. And if he gets hurt, that holds up the production.
Or if he doesn't do a good job.
Yes, yes, that too. So we have none of this without stunt people. And yet there's no, like, nobody knows a stunt person out there. No, nobody knows, you know, any, like you do actors by name. fame. And right. I think they should be celebrated more. I think they should be talked about more. I will admit I've met a handful of stunt people in my life, and I've really enjoyed talking to them, and they've gotten me more into this idea. Mm-hmm. And I grew up watching a wonderful movie, my little brother, where so many kids grew up loving cartoons. My little brother loved Hooper, this Burt Reynolds movie from the 80s where he plays a stuntman. And he's going to die if he does one more stunt. And, of course, he has this big stunt he's going to do at the end and everything. But I don't know how much the movie holds up, but I loved it as a kid. And my little brother really loved it. We'd watch it back and forth all the time. And there's something about stunt people that we just don't, I think, pay enough respect to.
Well, I would agree with that, and it's the same thing that could be said about the multitudes of people that work behind the scenes in movies and in theater, and that there just aren't seen.
Yeah.
But those movies, that entertainment wouldn't happen without them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. And you know, so all the more reason why when we have a chance to highlight a one, it's great. Final Destination Bloodlines brought a stunt woman out of retirement to set a new world record for the oldest person ever on fire on camera. Her name is Yvetta Ferguson. She's 71. Yvetta plays Miss Fuller, and I don't know what else happens. I haven't watched those movies. I saw the first one. I don't know. Another actress on the set, Breck Bassinger, says, quote, "I was within her vicinity. God, it was beautiful. Everyone started clapping. She was so pumped." Some of Yvetta's most recent work includes being on the TV show Midnight Mass or in 2019's Child's Play remake. She has been in the industry for decades. While retired a long time ago, they reached out to her to see if she would be interested in this, and the idea of doing it was fantastic. She didn't even know she was breaking a record. She just missed doing it, missed being on the set and doing these things. And there is an awesome behind the scenes thing of this happening. And there's not many times in life you're going to see a 71-year-old on fire smiling. I don't know if there's ever going to be any other time you'll see that. It's kind of cool, and it's somebody getting to do their passion one last time.
Like, yeah, that's fun. And she survived it, which is even better.
Definitely the headline. Definitely the best part of it, yes. And good honor. Good honor for that's doing cool. this. It's such a cool thing. Good honor for doing that. And a credit, again, to all these stunt workers out there. I also, as long as I'm handing out some credit, I haven't gotten a chance to do this yet. I, like many of you out there, last week got the chance to see the final main stage production for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's 50th season, Noises Off.
Yay!
I wanted to congratulate its director, Melissa Kay. Mel, I was blown away.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I feel like maybe it's in part because I know you well. I know you as well as I can. I don't want to pretend like I know you. That's not fair. But what I do know of you and everything, I felt like I saw you in the production in many ways. And I enjoyed that. I feel like everything you were telling and selling about this, not only there, but at a 10. And just as a quick note, because I don't want to ramble too much here, I really, really enjoyed your casting decisions and your choice of how to handle set changes.
And we had a lot of fun with it.
The in-between. I have not seen anything like that. I genuinely haven't. It's all plays have their length. I wouldn't say it's that much longer than a normal play or anything like that, but I do think it can be a little bit longer. I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that. And I was sitting in a up front surrounded by quite a few seniors. Mm-hmm. And while in the beginning there was a little bit of open candy and stuff like that, the rest of the show, they were locked in. and those set changes, especially where people were dead silent. And I feel for the actors, because as an actor, you could feel like, okay, what's going wrong? What am I not doing right? But it was a matter of everybody being so in tune and not wanting to miss anything. They were even holding their laughter down a little bit because they didn't want to step on a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've experienced that in the audience. I have as an actor on stage. I haven't behind the, in the audience many times. I credit you and your crew and certainly those actors on that stage. And Michael Flynn, the writer of Noises Off and everything. I've seen that play. I've seen that movie. I haven't seen it like that. Well done.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And I'll take a little bit of pride in the set changes because I had a vision and they brought it to life. They pulled it off. We furthered the story of Poppy and the love triangle that was happening between Poppy and Brooke and the director within those set changes. And I feel like it added another depth of layer to the story to tell more of the story from the woman's perspective of Noises Off than that it's just a farce. It added some emotion, I thought.
Being able to add something to a script, let alone a one that's so well known and everything, without adding, not taking, just it's very difficult to do, but it was seamlessly done and just a great production. Hats off to you.
Thank you. And a huge credit, obviously, to my actors and my crew. They really, I couldn't have done it without them. They were absolutely fantastic. I told them I got to hang up my director's hat now because that was perfect.
Yes, yes, right? Yeah, you just want to walk off like, I'm good.
Go out on
I'm
a
done.
Win.
I'm done. Yep. They're not done at WRCT, though. They've got, while the main stage season is done for this year, they, not only do they have their next four shows from the main stage all out there, so you can go check those out, but they'll be at Lunch by the River with Snow White and the Seven mm-hmm. Endings. That they've got auditions for that going on the 19th. Check that out, everybody. Performances will be in June. They're also going to have karaoke in their studio along with NAMI that they're doing this. And
yes, it's a fundraiser for NAMI on the 30th, I believe, right?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. What a great combination of nonprofits. That's mm-hmm. that's going to be a really fun event.
Yeah, come out and sing some songs and make some donations to help our community.
It'll be May 30th. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to it, but you can make plans and find out more right now by going to wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for being here with us. Fun stuff coming up for you, getting to our news, sports, and part entertainment break in a moment and all that. But right now, talking to English language. Okay. And the English language recently got a new word. It's called boomerasking. Boomerasking. But it's not about baby boomers. It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It's a term for something you've definitely experienced, but maybe you didn't have a name for it. Boomerasking is when you ask someone a question just so you can talk about yourself. You want the question to come back to you like a boomerang.
Haha.
A common example is when you did something amazing over the weekend. You might show up on Monday and ask a coworker, "Hey, do anything fun on Saturday?" And before they even answer, "Well, I," and you just jump right in. You don't even wait for them to finish or something, or you're setting somebody up essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of examples of this one out there. A blogger coined the term a few years ago, but it's been trending after a study found that there are three common versions of it.
Hmm. Okay.
So those versions, ask bragging, like, "How was your vacation?" "Mine was great."
Okay.
Ask complaining, "How's work?" "Yeah, well, I've had the worst week ever."
Mm-hmm.
And ask sharing. It's like ask bragging, but without the bragging. You might ask about something random, like, what do you think of Cybertrucks? Just so you could talk about how dumb you think they are. The study found we do it because we think it's a polite way to bring something up, but it doesn't always land that way. When we realize someone is boomerasking, we tend to think that they're just self-absorbed.
Yeah, you could take it that way.
Right. I feel like
I don't think that, you know, it's not 100% across the board. It could be somebody trying to broach a topic that they need to talk with you about that
right.
They don't have the courage to just outright say, "Hey, I need to talk to you about this."
I don't.
But if it's a habit, you know, if they do it all the time, then they're self-absorbed. Perhaps.
Yeah, really well done. I don't think I've done this in the bragging sense, but what you were just talking about of, how do I bring this up to this person?
Mm-hmm.
That I absolutely have done that. I don't know if recently, but I know that when I was younger, I definitely did. Because I just would have a very difficult time with certain topics talking about them. So mm-hmm. it just seemed easier.
Or if you're having a really rough time. You know, you maybe reach out to a friend or a family member or somebody and ask them how they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that then they will ask you how you are.
Yes.
So that you can say, you know, well, things haven't been really great lately. And, you know, it's a way of gently broaching the topic, but also showing that you care about their life as well.
I think you really hit it on the head. For me, if you're doing this all the time or anything like that, it's going to get old real quick and I'm going to notice it right away. But at the same time, I encourage people to, talk about these things and talk about mm-hmm. what's in their head. And I feel a little hypocritical, feeling that way. And then when somebody does it, another thing, we talk about mental health all the time now, and we're doing a really good job of that. But this is when the real work comes in. And now we've got to all be like, okay, we're all right. We're talking about mental health. Now, how do we do that?
Right.
There's no blueprint. There's no perfect way of doing this. You could read all the self-help books or all the different, take all the classes you want on it. Every human being is different, and everybody's has a different way of bringing this stuff up. And not the majority of people have no idea how to bring things up. Mm-hmm. So if this is the way that they're figuring out how to do it or anything, I don't know. I encourage people to be able to get their things off their chest.
And the other side of that, too, is a lot of people don't know how to respond when somebody says, oh, things are, it's really bad right now. Like, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah.
So it's from both sides. It's a difficult situation. But the more we talk about it, the more open we are, I think that we can only get better at it. Practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
Not that we can be perfect at this, but we can get better.
We're fixing the boat on the water. And giving each other grace about that is the way that we get through it, the way that we figure it out. The best way is to do this, and that maybe generations, ahead will have a better blueprint, will have a better way of doing this.
Yeah, because repressing and just pretending it's not an issue didn't work.
No, we got data on that one. We got plenty of proof on that one. That did not solve a darn thing. I don't even know if that really saved time. I don't know what that did, but it did.
No, it's called generational trauma. You're welcome.
Right. A team of domino toppling experts joined forces with a window and door company to topple 51,725 playing cards like dominoes to break a Guinness World Record.
With a door and window company?
Yeah. Okay. Foshin Shaanhae Smart Home Technology Company assembled the ultimate space facility using windproof windows designed to prevent even the slightest breeze from bringing the attempt to premature end.
I see. Now it makes sense.
Ah, it's all coming together. I didn't get it either.
Yeah, proving that their product is as sound as it says it is.
Boy, I love good synergy. I got to admit, I love good synergy. When these two businesses or two things that you wouldn't think work find a parallel or something, I love when that happens. Mm-hmm. Wang Li's Domino World, a team that already held 7 Guinness World Record titles, then set about the task of setting up this playing card balanced on the exhibit and everything. The team faced setbacks, including a premature collapse on April 9th and a second incident while attempting to reset the cards on April 10th.
Oof.
The cards, arranged in the shape of their logo and mascot and other Muppets, held the positions inside the ultimate space on the day of the attempt on April 11th, even when the outside of the transparent structure was subject to typhoon conditions.
Whoa.
And this was stimulated typhoons conditions, but that's they tested it and everything.
I see. Okay.
And even through that, the playing card stood up. The cards toppled as planned, earning the Guinness World Records title for the most playing cards toppled in a domino fashion.
How cool.
And what a great marketing idea. Like, it wasn't their idea, but way to, piggyback on it.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting.
It reminds me of the old ads, the glue ads, where the guy's hanging, like, this glue is indestructible, and he's got the hard hat and he's hanging from a thing, or the boat guy, the guy that I'm on a boat and it's leaking, and I put this on there, this patch on, and I'm floating now, and it's good marketing, it's good synergy.
Well, and we all like, dominoes toppling is very satisfying to watch, especially the ones that do it. Like a pattern, or in this case, a logo for something when they land.
There is something about it. Yes, there definitely is. We will get to our big time out here. We'll take care of our news, sports, and entertainment break, have our partners join us, and we'll be back to talk about this brain test that you can take at home. We're going to get into
it. All right.
Coming up on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. This is I think this is a fascinating one, honestly. Scientists have discovered that having decent reaction times is a key indicator that our brain is still working.
Okay.
Especially as we get older. And you can even test your brain health and reaction times from the comfort of your own home.
Okay.
It's called the ruler drop test. You sit in the a chair with your arm on a table so that your wrist is hanging over the edge. You okay. turn your wrist so your thumb and pointer finger are facing up.
Okay.
Then have your helper pinch the very top of the ruler where the numbers finish. The zero should be dangling directly above your thumb. Without warning, tell your friend to drop the ruler. With just your thumb and pointer finger, try to catch the ruler as fast as possible. Then write down the measurement on your ruler where the fingers landed. How many centimeters was it? Can you do it a few times and figure out your average reaction time?
Okay.
If the you catch the ruler at a distance less than 7.5 centimeters, it's excellent. If you catch it a little after that, it's above average, and so on and so on. Between 20 inches and 28 is below average, and anything over 28 is poor.
Okay. 28 centimeters.
28 centimeters. Thank you. Did I say inches? Okay. Darn it.
You did.
Yeah, darn it.
That's okay.
Not only will the results of this test show you how your brain is functioning, but it can also be a window into your overall risk of death and other brain-related things.
Wow. No pressure.
Yeah, none at all. Yeah. One study found there's a strong relationship between these between reaction times and risk of death from coronary heart disease, stroke, and respiratory disease. Along with what this means, just in general, like when you go to the doctor and they tap you on the knee, and you know, and that kind of thing. There are some videos that go along with this if you don't quite get the instructions and everything.
Mm-hmm. But the key is you need another person to do this with you. You can't do it by yourself because you know when you drop the ruler.
Yeah.
You need somebody to do it with it when you're not suspecting it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Which makes this a little difficult to do solo in the studio. But I do encourage people to give it a shot. I really do think it's something worth giving a try to. I don't know. I mean, now, granted, I wouldn't, you know, take this instead of going to a neurologist. You know, I would still recommend going to you and talking to your doctor. But it may be one of those things, and I do love the tie-ins to what we were talking about earlier in those six-word phrase that scares a lot of ER doctors. Mm-hmm. What do we come back to? That we are so hesitant to go to the doctor. We are so hesitant to seek help. This kind of, like, could give you more reasoning to, hey, wait a minute, maybe I should.
Well, and there are a lot of things that we can watch out for with our health. You know, we should always be checking in with ourselves and with our bodies because we ask a lot of our bodies. And this may be just another one of those things of if you can't catch that ruler at all, probably should go see your doctor.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like a bad idea. It also doesn't it doesn't seem like something that I feel like you get a bad score on this or something like that, that you need to panic.
Right. No.
The hope is that this kind of thing can, you know, get people to pay attention to that stuff and get ahead of things. You know, yes. Get ahead of it before it becomes an issue.
Right. So, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
I say give it a try, everybody. And again, if you would like the full article and some videos to go along with it, BBC.com has that for you.
All right.
Just a good story. We're going to get into some more good stories in a little bit and everything, but I've been waiting for a chance to bring this one up. Again, comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. A boy who offers tombstone cleaning services wins the national attention and donates profits to a funeral charity.
Aww.
A boy in England who came up with a simple business washing tombstones has been flooded with offers and donations from all over the country, all over the United Kingdom. After the national publicity, the young entrepreneur decided to donate 10% of profits to Stevie Stones, a charity that pays for memorials on behalf of families who have lost children.
Oh.
It started as a class project, a pocket money idea. Ben from Debershire was washing his grandmother's headstone and decided to offer the service to his neighbors. After his mother posted a job offer on social media, which Ben decided to call Guardians of the Headstones.
A great name. Well done.
It went viral, triggering thousands of responses. Quote, I found my mom at half five or six in the morning, counting all the responses we had, Ben told the BBC. There were almost too many to count. Hundreds, maybe thousands. People were offering free haircuts, free sweets from a shop, free photography, lots of amazing things.
Oh, that's cool.
Walking into school the following day, everyone had seen what had happened, thanks to the school principal. Ben said that he was roundly congratulated for his enterprise and felt that people he had known for years were kinder towards him. Quote, it's just how some people are just so kind and support even some of the weirdest ideas, he said. And there's always a bit of good in the world, and that's lovely. So can we, like, I don't know, as somebody who is weird, I don't usually tend to notice when I'm doing weird things. At that age, to realize, like, all this stuff is a little off, like, good on him. That's great. Yeah. I love that. That makes me like this kid even more.
Well, and it's not your usual pastime.
Yeah, he gets that.
I mean, there are people out there that do it. I have seen that before, but definitely not from a young kid.
Yeah. After Ben followed up on the offers by saying he would donate part of his proceeds the Stevie Stones, it too received a glutton of attention, including one man among dozens who offered to donate $75 every month.
Wow.
Just a beautiful story. Just an incredible story. And how many of these have we done over the years, Melissa, where it begins with a kid? It begins with like an 8 to 12 year old kid who opened up a lemonade.
Has an idea.
Opens up a lemonade stand and donates all the proceeds to their local humane society or something.
Those good stories. Good on these young people for having big hearts.
I don't know. It goes so much farther than I think we realize too. Because even talking about it and all this, there it's always to me the stories that aren't covered. Say there was a family that go to this certain headstone all the time, and you know now this time that they go and it's clean, it's nicer, and they can read it that much easier and everything.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Or ones that don't have people coming to them, and it's a way to remember people. I like walking through graveyards just to look at the headstones and remember the people that maybe don't have anybody to remember them.
I will be honest, I have not done it in a very long time, but when I first moved to a community, and we moved so much, that was one of the things that I would do. And my mom and her sisters would do that, and I learned it from them. There's something, I don't know if this is callous or bad to say, there's something beautiful to me about cemeteries in many ways.
They're places of remembering.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of all of this, I do have a tie-in, and it's a local one. Volunteers are needed to help place flags in our local cemeteries on September morning, on May 17th. You can meet at the Forest Hill Mausoleum right here in Rapids about 10 a.m. sharp. This is being brought to us by our great friend Tom Heiser, who joins us every month with our monthly veterans update. I know that you and Laura and I think the girls went along on this one last year.
I believe it was just Quinn.
Oh, it was just Quinn. Okay.
Quinn and Elena.
Okay. But I know that you guys have done something similar to that or done this before. And I know that when I was a kid, we weren't a part of a big group or anything like that. But my papa and my Uncle Ed and I and stuff would do things like this.
There was a great group of volunteers that came out last year. Last year to help put them out. It was wonderful.
And all hands on deck for another one, everybody. Volunteers needed again to help place flags on our local cemeteries this Saturday morning, May 17th. You'll meet at the Forest Hill Mausoleum right here in Rapids about 10 a.m. sharp. And again, thank you, Tom, for getting that to us. We'll keep mentioning this all week long and make sure that we get a good group of volunteers. And big thank you to everybody who is already making plans in their head to make the time for that. We appreciate you. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show mornings here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio.
for the man.
We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us over here. Been a fun show. Been a fun show, and it's real good to have you back in the swing of things, Melissa.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
I don't know. We haven't done an Ain't Right story in a while, and I'm trying to find the one that I had. My computer has just been... So one of the things, that you know, exciting things that you have missed, Melissa, is my computer has just been... it doesn't like me. It just doesn't.
When is this new?
It's a fair point.
As long as I've known you, James, you've had computer problems. I think you're like my brother in cars. You just get the lemons.
Can I be honest? I hadn't even put that together until you just said that. You're 100% right. You are. That did not occur to me. So let me see here. Let me try this because I apologize, everybody, but I really want to... Here it is. Okay, so Ain't Right story. And this is a doozy. A woman in England just won a big settlement after one of her coworkers compared her to Darth Vader.
Ooh.
Lorna Rook was working as a supervisor at a blood donation center in 2021 when a handful of people on her team took an online personal test for fun. It was Myers-Briggs test with a Star Wars theme, the type of jokey thing you might see on BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to tell you which Star Wars character you are. She was on the phone and wasn't around to take the test herself, so one of her coworkers answered the questions for her and then announced to everyone that Lauren had a Vader-like personality. The test actually spun it in a good way. It said being Darth Vader meant you were a very focused individual who could bring teams together. Okay. But Lauren said it made her feel unpopular at work. She quit the next month and filed a lawsuit.
Whoa, that seems excessive.
Yeah, and a judge just heard the case and basically ruled that it created a hostile work environment. They said Darth Vader is a legendary villain of the Star Wars series, and being aligned with his personality is insulting. They awarded Lauren just under 40 Gs.
Whoa.
That ain't right. that ain't right, man. Like maybe this was, they took it a little far. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're missing something here.
I agree. We must be missing something, or there's more to the story, or I mean, I don't know.
I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I like Star Wars and everything. I can't imagine even, because it doesn't even sound like she's like a big Star Wars person. So maybe that was the problem. Maybe she didn't like, you know, get the, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm trying really hard here.
I can tell. You're trying hard, and I don't know if it's worth it.
especially because I don't know, because here's the Danny Wright part. I don't know what the Danny Wright part is. I don't know if it's her or the judge, because I have a hard time. Like, she took this too far, I think, personally, my opinion, and bringing, you know, blogging down our court systems with cases like this or something that since we were kids we've heard problems about. At the same time, I can't get mad at her for trying this. It's more so the judge that I have more of an issue with. Like, this wasn't thrown out right away, let alone siding with her. I got to hear the whole case, though, because that's not fair for me to say.
That's the thing. You mean it was like a month after that she quit her job?
Yeah.
I mean, so what happened after that? Yeah, was she getting, like, Darth Vader memes sent to her all the time, where they put in little things in her? You know, I mean, the coworkers could have taken it too far as well.
Yeah.
The fact that they even, you know, did this at work is probably... not advisable.
And that's where I wrapped up on this, and part of the reason why I wanted to talk about it. Like, I feel like this is a good, like, a telltale of, like, hey, you know what? No, not worth it, everybody. Not worth it.
Some of those personality tests can be helpful. You know, like the Briggs, whatever.
Yeah, the Briggs test, yes.
Yeah, it tells you what your personality type is, and sometimes that can be helpful to help you understand how to relate to somebody else who is, like, you know, a different personality type than yours.
Yeah.
But equating it to, you know, fictional characters is probably not as helpful.
Probably not. probably
and
just
in this case, I don't know. It obviously didn't go well.
Well, if this case doesn't do it, nothing will scare people away from that stuff. Because I would think this is going to be like, you know what? I ain't messing with that. I'm not going to take any chances on this one. Not worth getting sued.
Nope.
Can't imagine it would be, at least. do want to get to some good stories of the day in our schedule. And our schedule is jam-packed, everybody. We got some great civic media programming for you throughout the day today. And encourage you around 2 o'clock today to meet us over at WFHR.com. Mm-hmm. We have the Rapids Report streaming exclusively over there for you.
All right.
We got a new episode lined up where we're going to be, we're going to be talking with Katie Johnson and ACE Leadership Group, Wisconsin Rapids Boys and Girls Club. She's going to be joining our friends from the Promise from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. And then we'll be talking with David Farnborough and Realty Radio.
Nice. Find out what's going on in the housing market, because it's a little crazy out there.
Such a fascinating topic to me. I love talking about that with David. It's going to be a good conversation. Rapids Report is streaming exclusively at WFHR.com every day, 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
All right.
And as long as you're going over to WFHR.com, might as well sign up for that newsletter while you're at it.
You may as well. It's easy. You just put in your email address and your name if you want to give us that, and where you're located, like zip code-wise. And then if there's anything that you want to see, hear, or read about in the newsletter.
We'll have a new edition for you this Thursday at noon. Check it out, everybody. Mm-hmm. Over on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, the home of high school sports, we've got Merrill at Lincoln. Mike and Seth going to cover that one for you. Great baseball action tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They're having a lot of fun over there, those two. It's going to be a great one. Check that out, everybody. We got some spring concerts in the Wisconsin Public Schools area we want to tell you about that are going on. One of them is happening tonight.
Hey, yeah, we're getting toward the end of the school year here.
Yeah. Tonight at 6 o'clock, grades 6, 7, and 8, a grade concerts orchestra concert will be taking place at Rams. So awesome. Grades 6, 7, and 8 have their orchestra concert tonight. And then tomorrow, it'll be grades 6, 7, and 8, a grand choir concert over at Rams. Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Yeah, head on down and support our kiddos.
And there are other great ones coming up. We'll tell you about them as we get a little closer to them. Mm-hmm. There is a great opportunity to be a superhero out there. You can donate this Thursday. Wednesday. I'm sorry. This Wednesday over at McMillan Library. 10 to 3, McMillan Library at 490 East Grand Avenue. Blood donation opportunity. Appreciate everybody out there giving and doing such great work with that.
Yeah, this is, I believe it's Trauma Awareness Month for traumatic emergencies that need a lot of blood donations, and it's harder to collect them in the summertime, but pretty much all the time. We need blood donations all the time.
Really, since last summer, we have been behind on this, and we all hands on deck. We need as many people to be able to donate that are comfortable and can, and we appreciate you doing that. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, our friends over at American Heroes Cafe in Central Wisconsin will be opening their doors.
All right.
They do this the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church in Wisconsin Rapids. All area veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome.
Yeah.
And make sure to spread the word about this and make sure that every one of those individuals know that they are welcome and that this great event is happening twice a month. Because they're back at it twice a month again with the summer weather and everything.
Excellent.
Big
it's
shout
a good
out.
Time to get together and to just, have a nice sit down, visit, a chat, and a good breakfast.
Big shout out to all the volunteers and the people that make that happen. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for all the work you do on that. And, of course, appreciate our friends over at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Mother's Day, Father's Day drop-off a diaper drive going on.
Diaper drive.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're looking for new unopened packages of diapers, wipes, preferably unscented, and diaper rashes or creams. And any of those things can be donated at the United Way office during their business hours.
Yeah, you can drop those off over at 351 Oak Street right here in Rapids. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4. Find out more or reach out to them through 211 or, of course, their website, uwswac.org. Mm-hmm. Check that out, everybody. Encourage you to do so. Let's take a look at some world good stories, Melissa. There's some great stuff going on in the world that we don't get to talk about nearly enough in news. I want to get to them. And thank you.
The good things.
Yes.
The good positive news.
Yeah, that's how we like to wrap things up around here. Animal control officers in San Francisco rescued three baby raccoons that got stuck in a wall outside a Chase Center. That's where the Golden State Warriors play.
Okay.
If you've never seen a baby raccoon, just be prepared to goo and awe and all that.
Well, pretty much. Most baby anything are pretty darn cute, but raccoons, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a baby raccoon, and this just really took me back. Like, they're just adorable. They are adorable.
They're like little mini-me's.
It's the mask. It's the little mask, because it's still growing in, you know? So.
Right. It's just adorable.
They're cool. Five fishermen arrived in the Galapagos Islands on Saturday after 55 days lost at sea.
Oh, I saw this headline. I didn't read the story.
Their engine died, and they'd been missing since mid-March. All five of them are in good health.
That is crazy. They survived 55 days.
That's just miraculous. We've had a couple of stories like this lately. You know, where just people lost at sea and they're found and they're you know, a little dehydrated or whatever. Not a little, they're dehydrated, but they're okay. They survived, right. You know?
Yeah, they didn't eat each other.
Right, yeah. Just remarkable. That's remarkable. And wow. A 31-year-old former Royal Marine from the UK just completed the longest triathlon ever. More than 8,000 miles over the course of 8 months.
Whoa.
Mitch Hutcraft started last September by swimming in the English Channel. Then he rode a bike 7,500 miles from Europe to India, walked or ran over 500 miles to Nepal, and finished up on Sunday by climbing Mount Everest.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Just finished up by climbing Everest. Jeez. You know, a little jaunt up a nearby hill.
Just a hike. He did it to raise money for a group called Savesism. It's a charity in the UK that protects wildlife and also works with veterans.
Oh, nice.
I mean, first off,
that's incredible.
That's an incredible organization that I encourage people to look into a little bit more. I mean, of all the incredible things I've heard human beings do in my life, this has got to be in the top of the list.
That's got to be breaking some kind of records.
I don't know what a curtain call is for that. I don't know. It's a good one.
We'll see if he breaks his own record. Yeah. That's often what happens with these ridiculous ones.
There you go. Great show. Have a good day, Melissa.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.